WJW Radio 850, and it was between 11 and 12 a.m. on the 23rd, that was on the Thursday of September 1982.
Who was the moderator?
The moderator was Admiral Polis.
And what was his background?
He is a Jewish moderator, and he's well known in the area, and it is claimed that he has some sort of a communistic idea. I don't know anything more about him.
You don't know whether he's a functionary of any Zionist organization?
Yes, he's a Zionist spokesman, that I was told.
By people who live in Cleveland?
Yes, anti-defamation league supporter.
Now, how did you get on the radio program?
Well, I got on the radio program by a friend of mine who told me that a talk had been arranged while I was in Cleveland.
After your lecture down there?
After my lecture down there, yes.
Now, was that your first experience on the Holocaust, talking to an American audience?
Not really, but it was my first experience with a person of this type, yes, that would continuously attack me. I had never experienced that before.
But you know, to me, who has done hundreds of these talk shows in North America, this is the norm. What you had to suffer through is the norm. They never let you continue a trend of thought. They always interrupt you when they are short of argument and find that their lies have been found out. Then they begin with character assassination, become offensive, abusive, and so on. So you got the royal treatment. But I must say, after listening to your tape, I'm very impressed by the way you handled them. And I know there's one woman in there that really told some fantastic tales.
Well, she was obviously telling lies. There is absolutely no such camp at Auschwitz, Buchenwald.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Buchenwald being about 2,000 or something distant.
Really fantastic. And then she was also saying that she was watching her friend putting some paint on some bodies. Another startling thing she said there was that she was feeding her friend by putting her foot on her friend's chest.
Strange.
A strange way of feeding a person. I would rather say that she was killing that poor woman.
Maybe stealing her food out of her mouth.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing, too, she said she was in blockade. Yeah. But the only blockade that I know of was Commandant Huss' block. Yeah. That was number eight.
Maybe she was his sweetheart.
It could be, yes, and maybe, in other words, she could have been a collaborator with the
The interesting thing that I find about all these people, they always want to tell this young man something.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
And you know, when you say how many Auschwitz were there, how many Auschwitz were there? She didn't know that there were all kinds of Auschwitz. I think that you basically flashed her out as just being another liar.
Yeah, she was just another liar, and perhaps that was one of the reasons that when we finally came out of the station, WJW, after the talk, it was surrounded by police cars. And we were told that the police cars had been sent there because there was a bomb threat, and the people had said that they were going to kill that guy in there.
What you are trying to do is try to whitewash Nazi Germany of the crime of killing 6 million Jews and others during the Second World War, and that you are devoting your life to try and prove that they didn't kill as many as 6 million. Is that a fair assumption of what you're doing?
Well, actually, it isn't, because I think that the fact that 6 million Jews may not have been killed is actually a happy news. It's a good news.
Oh!
Yes. I would say so.
In other words, are you prepared to give us the good news that only 4 million were killed?
Well,
3 million were killed?
Well, let me put it this way. It's a good news because it's the same way as if someone had said to me that perhaps my son was dead, and I believed so, and then suddenly someone said to me, well, your son is alive.
Wait,
it's happy news.
Excuse me. The war ended in 1945. It was in 1945 that the Allied troops began to discover what Hitler had done. I think one of the most poignant pieces of journalism ever done was Edward R. Murrow at Buchenwald, when bodies piled on bodies, and Murrow described it. When people with tattoos on their arms of numbers walked the streets with nowhere to go. And that was 1945. Judgment at Nuremberg, the film, told the story of the Nuremberg trials of the later 40s. Now it is 1982. We are almost 40 years away. If somebody's son is still alive and wasn't wiped out in Auschwitz or Treblinka or Buchenwald, obviously they would have found some relative by now and discouraged this happy news, wouldn't they?
Well, let me put it this way. The investigation of these alleged suppositions about 6 million Jews, 4 million it is alleged were gassed to death or murdered at Auschwitz alone, this needs obviously confirmation. We have to have eyewitnesses. We have to know the buildings where these alleged crimes were committed. You have to remember one thing here. We do not have any mass graves in the entire Poland today where these bodies are supposed to have been found. In other words, 4 million Jews or 6 million Polish and Jewish Ukrainians and all the rest of it, these bodies must be somewhere. Where are they?
Now, let me ask you something. Let us assume, just for the sake of argument, that Hitler did not wipe out 6 million Jews. He wiped out 4 million. A million. Let's give him credit. A million. What is the difference? What? So what? I mean, not so what. There were 5 million human beings, but so what? Does that make Hitler more of a statesman because he only killed a million people needless?
You are absolutely right here, and this is why I say that when the Americans...
absolutely right what?
When the Americans dropped the atom bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there were hundreds of thousands died. In Dresden, when they bombed Dresden, that we have hundreds of thousands died. We have crimes today committed in Israel today against the Palestinians and so forth. In other words...
No, in Beirut.
In Beirut,
get them
all right, that's right. But there
are researchers.
But there are people in Israel also that the Palestinians...
There are people everywhere who killed.
That's right. So we have this point. I'm completely... on your side there.
Good.
Killing is killing, murder is murder. But obviously, if you try and make one group of people, like the Germans, claiming that they are the ones that have committed all these crimes, this is a very extreme form of racism.
Wait a minute. Now you're telling me that the world is guilty of racism against the Germans?
Correct, yes.
I see.
To a large extent.
Let's talk about you for a minute so we know who we're dealing with. By the way, our phone number is 578-0850, if you would like to talk to this young man, Dietlib Felderer, who's devoting his life to prove the Germans weren't as guilty as they are said to have been. Dietlib, let's talk about you. You're Swede.
Yes.
What do you do over there? What do you do in Sweden?
Well, we do research, go to the camps, study in the library, so forth, talk to eyewitnesses, alleged eyewitnesses, and... do all the work we can do in order to arrive at the truth. I'm convinced that the truth is the truth.
He shall seek the truth, and the truth shall
and
make you free.
The truth
John
shall
the 23rd.
Lead me, yes, and wherever the truth leads me, that's where I'm
going. How did you get involved in this truth you're seeking?
Well, I got involved in this truth I'm seeking in the sense that I was a former Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so?
So, and as you perhaps know, the Jehovah's Witnesses were in the camps. In every camp, as a matter of fact, some were killed. We have a figure today of 203 people being shot, hung, and so forth. But make note, only some years ago, the authorities of the Jehovah's Witness alleged that some 50,000 were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is it that this figure had dropped from 50,000 down to 203? I mean, these are very, very serious questions, and they have to have an answer.
You're a former Jehovah's Witness.
Yes, correct.
They acquit the Jehovah's Witness.
I was excommunicated.
Oh, you? Yes. Why were you excommunicated?
I was excommunicated because I did not believe the official historical rendition at the Watchtower game, yes.
What are you now?
I'm a searcher now, searcher for the truth.
Religion-wise, what are you now?
I have no religion at all.
You believe in God?
I believe in a God, yes.
But you're not a Jehovah's Witness?
No. Okay. I was excommunicated.
And because you got started looking to see how many Jehovah's Witnesses they killed, you got involved in the whole death camp situation.
Yes, that's one of the big reasons, correct.
And you learned this happy news that they didn't kill...
Yes, this was indeed happy news to me, and I declared it to all my Jehovah's Witnesses friends, and I must say, most of them did become very impressed, and it was then that the Watchtower authorities in Brooklyn, New York, decided that this was not at all the kind of good news they wanted to hear, so I was excommunicated in 1974.
I see. You went and told them the good news that they only killed maybe a million Jews.
Well, as a matter of fact, I went to tell them that the number of Jehovah's Witnesses was not correct. In other words, one had enlarged the number by some 300%.
I see. They
or rather, 30,000.
They only killed 203 of them.
About 203 were murdered in the camp.
Well, that's wonderful.
Well, maybe you think so.
I
don't think so.
That's excellent news that only 203 human beings died who were Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, it is good news in a sense that we know today that not that all those 50,000 were killed. Of course it is good news. Just as I said to you, I would be very happy if I found my son to be alive.
What do you think happened to these other millions of Jews who were residents of Eastern Europe and Western, part of Western Europe during World War II? Where do you think they're hiding now? Where are they?
Well, the thing is this, that many of them died in the camps, Auschwitz. Some died in Gross-Rosen. We have Treblinka, Majdanek, and so forth. There were many who died there, but make note here, they died not because of any Cyclone B poisoning, but they died of epidemics like typhus, most of them.
Right.
Yes, correct.
I see. Now, these epidemics that killed them, they were brought about because of the living conditions in the camps, right?
As a matter of fact, I can now reveal to you a very interesting point, yes.
Yes.
And that is the fact that most of them died, most of these Jews who were in the camp died because the British had bombed the very factory in 1942 of Dessau where they prepared the Cyclone B, which I have a sample with me here.
You have here, you have handed me a little medicine jar.
Yes.
And this is the pill you drop in the gas chamber to wipe out the
heat. Well, pills it isn't. It's actually...
Tablets.
It's not even tablets. It's
a
silicone gel which absorbs the cyanide, and then under contact with the air, this gas comes out and it destroys the germs, like the lice. Particularly the lice, but it can also destroy rats and so forth.
They didn't use too much of this, you don't think?
Well, it's used in Sweden today.
What's it used for the death penalty?
It's used for, not the death
Sweden penalty. Sweden doesn't have the death penalty.
This way, United States has that. Sweden has, we have boats, ships, where rats are, and bugs and so
forth. I understand, but did the Germans use this at Auschwitz and Treblinka and Buchenwald?
Well, this is what I'm saying. They didn't have enough of it. And so the epidemic spread because Cyclone B cyanide is used to kill the lice. And the lice is the body lice, or the clothes lice.
I see.
Now, the clothes lice is the lice which makes people get sick.
The Germans just wanted to kill lice.
Well, obviously, they had to kill the lice because they wanted the Poles, the Jews, as workers.
To be clean, sure.
To work for this.
Sure.
They were just trying
to kill some lice and ended up killing a few people.
Well, as I told you, the people were not killed. It was the lice. In other words, they didn't have enough Cyclone B. And because they didn't have enough Cyclone B, because the factory was bombed in 1942 at Dessau, then the Cyclone B did not come to Majdanek. It did not come to Auschwitz. And so they could not disinfect the barracks. They could not disinfect the germs. And many suffered and many died.
Let me see if I have this right now. I want to get this chronologically correct. the Germans, in attempting to kill the lice and make the Jews cleaner, ordered some of this stuff. And they couldn't get it fast enough, so the epidemic spread through the camps. That's correct, right?
That's correct, yes.
I'm glad to hear that. Forgive me, folks. I'm usually not at a loss for words, but I have not ever had before, I admit, except people wearing uniforms with swastikas on them, who play Halloween 12 months a year over on Clark Avenue. I have not had before anyone who was ever trying to vilify Nazi Germany. We will take this break, and with Dietlin Felderer, our phone number 578-0850, as most of you know, and I'll get to the phones, there's a lot of them, in just a moment. Dietlieb, in 1934 and 35, a madman by the name of Adolf Hitler decided there had to be, quote, a final solution to the Jewish problem, didn't he?
As a matter of fact, the term final solution to the Jewish problem is never found in any document.
I see. Are you telling me that Hitler did not begin at first by rounding up Jews and making them wear armbands and destroying their homes and businesses? Are you telling me that, Dietlieb?
Well, I can tell you that there were many Jewish groups in Germany who were what you could call in favor of Hitler.
There were Jewish groups in favor of Hitler?
Correct, yes. And very strong groups. And many of the books are in my own library. I know some of these people personally.
All right. Now, when Hitler didn't enjoy enough just breaking glass and putting armbands on Jews, he began building camps to send the Jews to, didn't he?
Well, breaking glass, which I suppose you mean a crystal night, happened one night. Now I can tell you that my windows have been broken at three different occasions, and the last time a huge stone was thrown through my window and almost hit my Filipino wife.
I'm sorry to hear that, but the more I hear of you, the more I understand why. Now, let's go back to the camps. You're telling me that Hitler did not build the camps to send the Jews to?
I never said that. I said these camps were built for Nazi Germany to get labor, cheap labor.
You approve of that?
I don't approve of it, no.
Hitler was wrong?
Yes.
And he had no intent of killing any of these Jews, just getting cheap labor?
No, the intention was to push the Jews eastward.
Was Hitler a madman?
Well, was Churchill a madman? I think...
Was Hitler a madman?
Well, I think the fact of being a politician is being a madman. So, yes,
Do you think history has been unfair to Adolf Hitler?
History is always unfair.
I ask if history was unfair to Adolf Hitler.
So it is also unfair to Adolf Hitler, of course, yes.
What has been unfair to Adolf Hitler?
Well, as I just said to you, Hitler's intention was to work together with the Jews.
I see. To work together.
Yes, and this is why
You just told me a minute ago you wanted to drive them out of Germany.
Well, obviously...
How do you work together taking people's homes from?
Well, it's very logical. Because if a group with whom you want to work together terrorizes you, it's the same thing...
Wait now. I can't understand this. I'm stupid.
Well, you're not stupid.
The Jews were terrorizing Hitler.
Yes, indeed.
How?
Now, let me say to you this. If certain groups of the Jews were terrorizing the Germans by not allowing them to prepare a good home for the Jews in Germany.
Yes! Forgive me, I didn't see this. Let me see if I have this correct. The Jews are living in Germany.
Correct.
And they're businessmen, and they're doctors, and they're shopkeepers, and they're everything everybody is. And they own their homes and they're good citizens.
Yes.
And then Adolf Hitler becomes Chancellor of Germany and he decides they should be relocated. Right?
No, he did. That decision wasn't made before even the exterminationists, I don't call it Holocaust, claimed it was first in at the Wannsee Conference where this was what you...
Now, you've got me wrong. Hitler decided something had to be done about these Jews.
Well, something had to be done, yes.
Why?
They had to live in a happy home.
But they were living
in a happy home.
They were in their own homes in Germany. Weren't they happy?
Well, if they were living in a happy home, why should I, as a Jew, then declare war against Germany, which was already done in 1933?
Wait. The Jews declared war on Germany?
We have many examples of that in the Jewish chronicles and so forth.
Wait.
I'm saying these documents are in my file. Where a war was declared against
Germany. Who wrote these documents?
Well, there was various Zionist groups in England, for instance, who wrote these articles and so forth.
Name one.
Well, I just told you.
Name a recognized name who wrote these documents.
Well, the Jewish Chronicle had a first-page article about declaring a war against Hitler.
Well, let's see if I can get my chronology in order. Hitler ordered that all Jews would wear a Star of David on their arm.
No, this was ordered by a very powerful Jewish group in Germany. It was not Hitler's intention in the beginning. Absolutely not.
A Jewish group?
Yes, as a matter of fact, if you read Encyclopedia Judaica, it even says in there, under the David Star, that this was the hope of the Jews, and it was even said that they should wear the David Star, and they should wear it with proudness, because for the same reason that the Salvation Army wears their insignia.
The Jews were just like the Salvation Army. They wanted to wear a uniform.
Well, this is what the Jewish Encyclopedia says. It says,
Jewish Encyclopedia?
Encyclopedia Judaica, the latest edition, 16 volumes. I believe it's in every library. At least it is in our main research library in Sweden. It's, you can read there under Morgan David about all these things.
Now, how about the trains to Auschwitz? The Jews are rounded up and put on the trains to Auschwitz. Did that happen?
Yes.
Why?
Well, as I just have said here, the intention when the war was declared, and the same thing happened in Sweden, the communists were put in concentration camps in Sweden. Here in the United States, you have the Japanese put into concentration camps. In Canada, you had the Jehovah's Witnesses put into concentration
camps. Hitler didn't do anything different than anybody else.
Exactly. He did what all the others did. He put them also into concentration camps. And they were shipped eastward. But they were not shipped to be put into jails, but for to work.
Those people to work in forced slave labor, right?
Yes, you could put
Is that okay with you?
No.
You wouldn't have done that.
I think it's terrible.
Would you have supported Hitler in those years in Germany?
No. For the simple reason that I don't support any politicians.
I see. Now, we get to the concentration camps. Life pretty good in those camps?
If it was run properly, yes. I had been in Polish jails, and I would say I'd rather be in Auschwitz as a prisoner than in a Polish prison.
Auschwitz was a pretty good place to be.
Yes, it depends on how you look at it. The biggest building, for instance, in Auschwitz was the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a special diet section where diets were prepared for the different diseases.
How much food did they give to the average prisoner in Auschwitz?
More and better food given at Auschwitz than my family had living in Italy or in Austria.
Would you like to know the average diet in 1944?
Well, I know what
the
call.
Would you like to know the average diet
I'm aware of this, and I can tell you now a secret here, that the diets and the menus are available at the Auschwitz archive, and I can inform you that even ice cream was given to the prisoners. Now, how do you like that?
What flavor?
Well, I have it. I think it was the general flavor.
Okay, now let's go back to 1945, when Auschwitz and Buchenwald and Treblinka and Dachau are liberated. All right? Some very responsible journalists went into those camps.
Now, who are they?
Edward R. Murrow.
Well, I don't...
William L. Shire.
Well, Pardon me, I don't consider Shire to be responsible.
Shire is not responsible.
Well, let me tell you here. He said that the people were dancing and they had girls in blue dresses and they were singing into the gas chamber. Now, how do you like that for an answer?
William L. Shire is not a responsible journalist.
Well, he said so. He talks about iron doors that were shut and they were open. There were highly technical leads. You don't find this in any other places.
Did you read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich?
I have it at home, yes.
I didn't ask if you have it at home. I asked if you read it.
Yes, and I'm just telling you here that these doors, which you mentioned about, and all these contraptions, they are not there.
Did you read Berlin Diary?
Well, I read all of them.
Did you read Berlin Diary? Well, you evade every question I asked.
No. I'm answering your question. I told you here that the doors, because my interest is the gas chambers.
Sure is.
Yes.
We're going to go to the phones. Would you mind if I said something to you I've never said to any guest?
No,
before?
You may say anything.
You turn my stomach. We'll be back after this message.
You are listening to Talk That Makes News on WJW AM 850.
We're back with Dietlib Felderer. Forgive me, Dietlib. But I have never been so appalled at having to finish a program in my entire life, and I don't say that lightly. I've had them all. You're the first person not wearing a Halloween costume of a Nazi uniform. I don't often say on the radio that I am upset, and I am upset. And I have never before had to walk out of the room during a break to gain my composure. I have seen the people with tattoos. I have talked to the people who were in the concentration camps. I have known people whose entire families were wiped out by the people you're defending. I'd like to say to you, why? Why do you do something like this? Why? But you'll find an excuse for that.
Well, I can tell
you. You are turning my stomach.
Well, the truth may do that, but the fact is the truth is the truth. And if you say you have spoken to people and known them and seen tattoos, well, so have I. So it's my witnesses against your witnesses. Now, how do you like that for an answer?
It's like a baseball game, isn't it?
Well, that's the way you seem to put it.
The world won, the witnesses nothing. Let's go to the telephones. WJW, good morning. You're on the radio. Yes, ma'am.
Am I in?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Sorry that you're feeling so bad. I wanted to ask Mr. Felder a question, but first I'd like to say that I am living for the day when I hear you say over the airwaves that it turns your stomach as to what Begin and Sharon have just done in Lebanon. But, Mr. Felder, I would like to ask you a question. When you obviously went to these camps, right?
Yes, we had been continuously visiting these camps.
All right. What evidence did you find there? What is there to show that these things actually went on, or were there things that showed that they didn't go on? I'm trying to find out, how much evidence you have to say these things that you're saying. So could you explain that to me?
Well, the evidence is the material evidence, the buildings and so forth. And we have to remember that tourists who come there to Auschwitz are generally run through the camp in about 20 minutes, and it's absolutely impossible to even get a geographical idea of the camp. I may tell you here that the really interesting part about Auschwitz are never really shown. For instance, the very good swimming pool behind Block 6, where the inmates were having their swims.
Nice little swim for the inmates.
Well, I would say I still have to find a swimming pool in any of the Polish hospitals. And that swimming pool was 26 meter long.
Olympic size.
Wide, yes, and 3 meter deep. And it had a nice shower place. It had a diving board, a springboard, and so forth. And that is one thing. Then on the another big building.
Come to our death camp and have a swim.
Well, another big building, that was the theater, where the patients performed their plays.
Patients,
yes.
Who are the patients?
Well, in Auschwitz, all these blocks, almost all the blocks, were hospital blocks.
Oh, were they sick?
These were people who were sick of typhus. Some, there was a special block for mental illness. There was a special block for
No, the Germans weren't in the blocks,
there was an X-ray. Well, actually, the ones who administered were Jews. They were responsible Jewish
doctors. But the Germans weren't in the mental section of the hospital.
You mean...
The inmates ran the asylum, right?
Are you asking me whether the Germans were in the mental block? Well, of course. There were Germans there, there were Jews there, there were Polish there, and you name them, they were there.
WJW, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Am I on the phone?
Yes.
I am a survivor of the Nazi camp, and I would like to ask that young man something. How does he expect to find bodies when I was smelling for 4 weeks and watching them burning, and my girlfriend was taken and there and putting them in halls, and they were putting paint over and white stuff on them in Birmingham. How does he expect to find bodies?
Well, I want to ask you the question, in which camp were you in?
I was in Auschwitz.
Yes, but which part of Auschwitz were you in?
In Buchenwald.
Buchenwald isn't
that. No, I was in Block A.
You were in Block A. Well, I have a map before me here, and you were in Auschwitz, but were in Auschwitz. There's many... Block A, what do you mean by Block A?
That was... They were partial of in blocks, and I'm so upset that I can't even talk and think.
Well, if you say the blocks were numbered, which number was...
I was in Block A. This is what I'm telling you.
You say you were in Block A. Where at Auschwitz?
Where at Auschwitz?
Yes.
How many Auschwitzes were there?
Well, don't you know them? There's more than one?
More than one Auschwitz?
No, yes.
I just was in one Auschwitz, and I just saw them burning the bodies, and my...
Well, this is why I have to ask you. I have the map before me here.
Yes.
And which block were you in at Auschwitz?
Are you questioning the fact that this lady was alive?
I am telling you...
I'm questioning the fact
she
that...
She lived there. She survived there.
I'm trying to find out whether what she's saying is true, and it doesn't appear so. She said she's living in Block A.
Yeah.
I mean, the blocks were not... they were numbered. So that's why I asked you which block you were living in, which number, and also which part of the camp. The camp was just not one camp.
Well,
now,
I'm glad you
don't
live on my block, Dietwood.
No.
How many Block A's did you have there?
Well, you should know you've been there.
I was there, so there was one Block A, and that's when I was living in it.
Yeah, which part of Auschwitz was it?
I'm telling you, I didn't have them either.
How was... Ma'am, may I ask you a couple questions?
Yes, please.
How was your swimming pool? Was it a nice elliptic size?
Yes. They took me once, and I thought of going to the gas chamber, and we were hiding out. We didn't even go for a shower, because most of the people whom they took, they didn't come back.
How was the food?
The food was that I had to step for my girlfriend on the chest and open her mouth and steal her in.
Well, that's probably because some of you were stealing each other's food. You know, I have Jewish friends, and some of them almost died because some of their other Jewish friends...
You have Jewish friends?
Stealing,
you have Jewish friends?
Well,
I want to
see
your Jewish friends.
Well, of course.
I would like to see your Jewish friends.
Well, let's come back again to the block.
Hold on a minute. And them being burned. I was looking
now,
at
you
the
were,
window
you,
and holding
now,
the
which
people.
Block were you in, and where did you...
You son of a... I don't want to... I know I'm going to be blocked.
Ma'am.
You didn't
ma'am,
live there.
Ma'am.
You lived there.
I thank you, and I am sorry. I am really very sorry that you had to be so aggravated. But I can tell you... I can tell you... I can tell you that I am not a survivor
but
of the death camp, and I am shaking, and I have developed a headache over this.
How can anybody say anything?
Well, how can you say there was a Block A when there was no Block A?
Thank you for your call, and a very happy New Year.
Thank you.
WJW, good morning.
Good morning, Merle. How are you?
Okay, I've been better.
All right. I've been sitting on the phone listening. Now, I want to stay a little calm for a second. I majored in history, and besides going to school for it, I have watched my parents, I have listened to the people all my life around me, with the numbers. I have never known my grandparents, I've never known aunts and uncles, and, you know, it's interesting when you listen to this man. In the 1930s in Germany, before Hitler came there, the economy for the Jews was super. They were in the best positions of jobs. They were professors, educators, bankers, you name it, had no problems. They didn't even want to leave because they felt, how could we, it's so secure, why should we go anywhere? Why should we go to war with anybody? We're here, we've got our money, we've got our family, we've got our homes. You know, why should we go? But in came Hitler, and not only did they go for the final solution, not on life, but on human beings, and not to move them east, because every country they went into, whether it was France or Sweden or whatever they went into, or Denmark, they automatically went for the Jews right away, because they weren't happy there either.
May I have something to say?
When I finish, sir, because I don't know if I even want to listen to you anymore, but they just went through like that all the way, and wearing a Jewish star, yes, today, very proudly, I'll wear a Jewish star. But not because I'm forced to wear one, it's because I want to wear one. They had no choice in the 30s and 40s. The star was not a sign of pride in those days. And whatever books this man has read, whatever pictures he may come up with, whatever people he may come up with, it's just a shame that when the Jehovah Witnesses excommunicated them, that the rest of the human race didn't do the same thing. Because as long as you've got vermin like this around, you're going to keep on having anti-Semitism and problems and situations like happened in Beirut.
May I say something to you, sir?
Yeah.
One could argue about the wisdom of letting this person have his say.
Well,
but I think it has tremendous wisdom. I'll tell you
what. Question. It reminds us.
It reminds us that it isn't gone.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds us every day of your life, every single day of your life, that the world has still surviving people like this who are trying to write off the slaughter of 6 million babies, women, children, and men.
When you look at a situation like the woman who just spoke to him a few minutes ago, and the pain she just went through again.
Well, I don't believe her story.
You don't? Well,
no.
let me tell you. I'll buy you a ticket. I'll take you over to a little place called Yad Vashem.
Well,
and I'll have you.
I would be very thankful if you
and
did
if,
that.
First of all, you know, I'll have you walk through it. And
yes.
If you come out of there the same way, then you're not a human being, you're a zombie.
Well,
we're dealing with a man who says that William L. Shire and Edward R. Murrow were not accurate historians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time I've ever even heard that situation said.
Well, you've got a situation where Adolf Eichmann came out himself with the word final solution. And again, it wasn't for life. Unless he's confusing the four-letter word.
Let me say here that I think that your supposition here is creating anti-Semitism.
My supposition.
And by your acting in his way,
uh-huh.
you are creating the very hate which
uh-huh.
you want believe. In your illusion that you're going to get rid of,
okay.
you are actually creating.
Well, first of all,
because it's only when other
right.
people, either we are
that's
Jew
right.
or Filipino,
right. first of all, I am Jewish. Number one.
Come together,
secondly,
talk things together,
yes.
then
uh-huh.
we can come into an agreement, and that's the way to unify us.
The only agreement you can come to is that there were 6 million people. The only agreement you can come to is there were 6 million people.
Well, the number 6 million, you know, if you look at Shire, if you look. At Reitlinger, he doesn't give that figure.
Doesn't give that figure.
No.
Well, if one,
Gilbert doesn't
if
give
one
that
human
thing
being,
right.
if one human being was slaughtered because it was Jewish, it's just as bad as if 6 million were slaughtered.
Well, if one Palestinian was slaughtered, well, what about that?
The which?
If one Palestinian is slaughtered, what about that?
Well, let me tell you something. I am not in favor of that. I think that was a mistake. I think we never should have gone back in there. We wouldn't have been helped.
You know what we're doing.
But, Gil, can I say one more thing? You know, stop on this.
Yeah.
I think that thing would have happened, whether Israel was there or not.
You know what we're doing, though.
Yeah.
We're sitting here, you know, suddenly it comes to me. We're sitting here trying to argue with him.
Which is nonsense.
I mean, we're sitting here trying to make sense out of this.
Well, Billy.
And I am shaking like
yeah.
a leaf. I am shaking for the people who died, who lost their families. I don't know what else to say. except that I guess we have to hear this. I'm sorry it happened to me. I would rather the dice were thrown and somebody else got this guy. I just got him by accident.
Really?
I would rather somebody else had gotten this guy, and I could have listened out there like the rest of the people in the station are listening and said, well, we got a nut in here. Or Merle's got a nut, but the fact remains that Merle got him. And I am shaking like a leaf, and I don't know that I'm going to eat the rest of the day. I am sick.
I've got some coffee here to drink, so
I don't have any coffee to drink. I'm sick in my stomach.
The only thing I have to say is the only good that comes out of this man is that we, the few generations that have gone beyond that, can't forget, won't forget, and will remember.
May God bless you.
Okay.
WJW, phone booth caller, good morning.
How you doing? I'm a pharmaceutical salesman that sells shampoos for the eradication of lice. I know there's three types of lice. None of them carry disease. And Dietlip said that body lice is what the Germans were after trying to kill. Body lice are the easiest to eradicate because all you have to do is wash the clothes. You don't need any gas or anything like this to eradicate body lice.
Then you would certainly haven't read up on the manuals of body lice. I can assure you that I got it.
You're a lice expert, right?
I got at home kilos and kilos of documents of the problems of lice. In the Second World War, some 5 million people, if you look into Encyclopedia Britannica, some 5 million people died because of the body lice. So how can you say he was...
All you got to do is wash the clothes and you eradicate body lice.
I thank you for calling from the phone booth.
Thank you.
Super. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is
Dr. 8850 WJW. Good morning.
Hello, Merle?
Yes.
Yes, I was listening to your radio while I was driving along here in Akron, and I was wondering, did you get as sick as you claim to be now when the people were slaughtered this Sunday and the Saturday and the Sunday over in the Palestinian camp?
I don't like any slaughter, sir. Any slaughter. WJW, good morning.
Merle.
Yes.
If he doesn't believe Merle and all the other historians, will he believe Albert Speer? Will he believe the figures from Gerald Reitlinger and Raoul Hilbert, who were in the Ministry of Labor for Germany?
Let me answer that question to you.
Wait a minute. Before you answer it, let me tell you the figure given by these people estimated between 2,600,000 to 3 million Polish Jews exterminated. Polish Jews. That's not covering the Hungarian, the Romanians, the Greek Jews, or what have you.
Well,
I'd like to know who's financing your work.
I can tell you this, that I have personally been in contact with these gentlemen and wanted to have a debate with them on this very issue, but until now they all seem to run away. So if you can manage these gentlemen to have a debate, I'm willing to have a discussion with them. And the figures that you give about Hitler and Reitlinger, I can tell you that Professor Ratzinger already, at the very early time, Hilbert came out with his book, debunked his very allegation of the numbers. And Reitlinger isn't much different there either, and he gets a different figure, for instance, than he gets the figures of Auschwitz, around 700,000. If you go to Auschwitz today, the figure is given as 4 million, so there's a big difference.
Well, obviously, I can't get an answer out of you that. Now, who finances you? How do you how do you get your money to do this research?
Well, obviously, it's not through you help.
No, that's right, and it certainly wouldn't be. But who does? Can you give that information out?
Well, very simple. This is financed through the work that I am doing. In other words, it's idealistic work. It's the humanitarian work we are doing here to bring people the good news, and we take our money that we have and we put into this. It's very simple.
Good.
I live a very Spartanic life. I've always had very little food since I was a child during the war, and I can live very cheaply. So
Merle, let this be a warning to all of us.
So that's how I can...
Let this be a warning to all of us. Fascism is not dead.
I think it is.
And prejudice isn't dead. It could be dead. Fascism could be dead if we don't forget. If we don't forget. Thank you, Borough.
Thank you. WJW, good morning.
I'm just listening to your guest here. I'm from Germany. I was born in the war. I know quite a bit, more than I should remember. We lost our home 3 times to a blundout. And you know, they're saying just Jewish people were going to the gas chamber. No. My grandmother and my grandfather went to the gas chamber. They were not Jewish. They're German. My mother was looked for because she bought lunch meat from a Jewish butcher. And I haven't forgotten it. And there are a lot of people in Germany haven't forgotten it. And they opened the holes on the street so that the German people fall in, especially the old people, the children, retarded children. When they're going to bring that up, too. And we weren't Jewish. But all I ever hear is just Jewish people. I have nothing against them. I give them credit. They can make it. Fine. But doggone it, there are German people who suffer just as much.
Many people suffer.
Yeah, but it never comes up. Go to Chicago and you see a lot of Nazis. What are they doing here?
WJW, good morning.
Hello, Merle?
Yes.
Oh, listen, I just want to ask a question. Have you or your guests read the book, The Great Hoax of the 20th Century by Art Button?
Well, I have read it, yes.
Yeah, he's a professor from Northwestern University, an engineering professor. And the book can be gotten at the public library, and it seems to cast some doubt also on the 6 million figure.
Yes, it does, yeah. I don't know if my friend here has read it, but I have read it.
When we cast doubt on the 6 million figure, no, it was 4 million, or 3.5, or 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make a lot of difference?
I think it does. Because it you lose your credibility when you say, like, say 6 million, which is, you know, a little bit ridiculous. You know, they didn't even have the means in those days to gas and burn that many people. So if you stick to the truth, it's
well,
more believable.
You know, it figures it like I'm playing poker. It's like a money game here.
Mm-hmm.
And figures certainly are important, and specifically seeing that we have the documents available. For instance, in Majdanek, I was able at one time to see the secret documents which are in the Soviet archives and which for the moment had been sent, some of them, to Majdanek Museum. And I was allowed, after a lot of trouble, to look through the documents. And the highest amount of deaths at Majdanek in 1944 was 1944. I believe it was in May, and it was over 1,400 people.
Yeah.
And at that time, there was a tremendous epidemic in Majdanek.
You know, this is what the book points out, too.
Mm.
That, like I say, if they stick to the truth and just tell the truth instead of, you know, some propaganda.
And I think
we're
Jews, and we should all work together to arrive at the truth.
Yeah.
And we have nothing to fear.
That's right.
We'll continue right after this message. Here on WJW, and we've been talking to Dietlib Felderer. Mr. Felderer has said what he had to say. Where do you go from here?
Well, whoever invites us for discussions, we are willing to discuss and debate, so we are willing to go anywhere.
WJW, good morning.
Good morning. Who is this?
Just one moment. I have lost my earphones, and I'm going to ask you to hold on just a second so I can hear you. Something happened to them, but...
I just want to say that Merle Brown's wanting to get that guy off the air already. He's sick.
Yeah, well, that's going to be in about another minute and a half.
Huh?
About another minute and a half.
About another minute and a half?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I think, the guy is just ridiculous.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that's it for this hour. And Dietlib Felderer has been with us.